Did you know that faulty, dirty, or unclear signage could be causing you to lose out on 50% or more of potential revenue? In this episode, we're talking all about the cost of poor signage, how to properly take care of your signage, and how to know when it needs a total overhaul. Welcome back to the Innovation Room podcast. I'm Rhiannon Huff here with my co-host, Tori Holman. And in our last episode, we talked about what makes a storefront iconic. Today, we're going to dive into how to keep those signs looking best throughout smart maintenance and signage strategies. That's right. We talked about a couple of examples in our last episode of some of those most iconic American storefronts. But even the most stunning sign isn't going to help you if it's faded, broken, or outdated. So we're going to talk about how to keep your storefront looking really fresh and how, of course, that directly impacts your bottom line.
A broken or outdated sign definitely can hurt your business more than you might think. So there's a tangible cost for failing to upkeep signage, and we'll get into an example of the potential cost in a moment. But first, let's talk data.
Yeah, so there's been a decent amount of research on this, right? The Sign Research Foundation is a leader in, obviously, signage research. And so they did a study a number of years ago on consumer perceptions of retail signage. And they found that nearly 55% of all consumers, and this is across every major retail sector, they admitted to driving past businesses or dismissing a business altogether if the signage's message was unclear, right? Unclear could mean a number of things, right? Maybe it's poorly designed or poorly maintained. It's dirty, whatever it is, you can't really read or understand it. And all of those factors can contribute to confusion for consumers.
And further research from the Sign Foundation found that 40% of all North American consumers make assumptions about the quality of a business based on the quality and upkeep of the signage. Again, that's a big number. You don't want your store being iconic for the wrong reasons. We've talked about sometimes signs that have the wrong messaging. There can be vulgar, or bad words because of words or letters that are out on your sign. I saw one a while ago that it's for a buffet and some of their letters were out and it literally said nasty buffet. So you definitely don't want that version of the icon where everybody recognizes that because, oh my gosh, everybody go see this sign that's out. No, you definitely don't want that.
For sure not. Yes. For sure not. And that faulty signage, right, really, it means that you lose out on that positive brand recognition. And Rhi was saying it builds a bad reputation. So that ultimately means that if you want to address and fix that, you're going to have to spend even more money building it back, right? Building that positive reputation. It's like trying to fix a bad habit. It's way harder to fix a bad habit and build a new one than it is to just build a good habit from the beginning. So you can just simply begin by building a quality brand from the very start, and you can use your signage to help you do that in really positive ways. So I want to dig into kind of a potential cost example, right? If we consider those earlier statistics, what is it really going to cost your business to miss out on potential customers? So let's just keep our numbers really round and nice and easy here. Let's say that your location makes $100,000 a month on average. And if we're generous with our earlier statistic, or maybe conservative is the better word, if we're conservative with that earlier statistic, let's say that 40% of potential customers disregard your storefront because of faulty signage instead of the 55%, which is what the research actually demonstrated. So this means that you're missing out on the potential for about $40,000 in revenue per month. This is a lot of money. This means that you lose out on $480,000 a year. That's almost $500,000. But if you invested a small amount into maintenance, let's say $2,000 or $3,000 into your sign, the added business that you gain from that improved signage is going to pay for itself literally in no time. Let's say you do attract 40% more customers into your location. That's, like we've said, almost $500,000 more in sales that you're going to make year over year.
Right.
That's crazy.
And it's so sad to how much signage is taken for granted in regards to that. Yep. There's always something to maintain. There's always something to fix, whether it be retail, restaurant, whatever the industry is. But signage is usually put on the back burner. And when you do break down these numbers, Tori, it's just amazing how you're right. For the majority of locations, it is a small investment for a huge ROI.
Yes, it totally is. And it's funny, I was thinking about this podcast topic as I was driving the other day, and I was driving past a restaurant chain that I shall not name, but I'm gonna tell you a little bit about it, and so maybe you can guess what the brand is. But they are notorious for having really faulty signage. In fact, I don't know that I've ever seen a sign from this brand where they had all of their lights functioning, they had all of their channel letters on and clean and looking really nice. So at this point, and this is a pretty common, like, quick or fast casual, I guess would be the name of it, maybe, sit down restaurant. It's in my brain, this brand, because of their terrible signage, is pretty much synonymous with this seedy, like, subpar quality brand. I wouldn't choose to eat there myself, not necessarily even because of the signage. I don't really like the food, but the bad signage contributes to that really negative perception of the brand. And so if that brand decided to invest a little bit in their signage, I'm not saying it's going to make their food any better, but it's going to improve their brand recognition or people's perception of their quality, whether or not the fried chicken or whatever it is actually any better than it was before. So now that we've talked about the price that businesses might pay for their faulty signage, let's talk about what you can do to prevent these issues from happening. So Reid, this is totally your field of expertise, and I hope my previous example was hopefully somewhat on the mark. What should businesses do to protect their signage investment and really make sure it continues working for them?
Absolutely. And we have more and more clients that are coming to us on a regular basis asking for a preventative maintenance program or plan for them. Obviously, on our end, it is when things go out, lights go out, things need to be taken care of. It is more of a reactive process. However, there are definitely things that you can do in a preventative way so you don't become that sign that has that bad reputation. Starting first and foremost is just regular cleanings and inspections. We do a lot of nighttime photos for our clients across the country. And I feel like this is huge because a lot of times, especially in retail, even more often, because usually the employees leave the building before they see the signage come on. So they're not really, they don't notice that it's out. But sometimes it's a little bit different for restaurants because they're open later. However, regardless of what it is, just those inspections and regular cleaning. So if you have your signage company on top of this regularly and having those inspections, it just prevents the deterioration, and they just keep signs readable. It keeps them clean. It keeps them up to date. All of the things that we can try to do before the bad things happen, right? So obviously, also another thing is the use of LEDs. There's still a lot of fluorescents out there. There's still some old neon signage. LEDs last 10 times longer. They require less maintenance. There's a good warranty on LED and power supplies. Overall, it's time to definitely upgrade if you're not there. And with that, know what your LED's warranty is. So if it goes out within the first 5 years, usually that's under warranty. At least the parts are under warranty. Sometimes the labor is not, but the parts are under warranty. That's huge. And making sure that you are up to date with all of that. Another thing is weatherproofing, UV coatings and quality finishes to protect from the elements. So sometimes we cannot prevent all things happening. Sometimes in the land of the hot sun, like where Tori lives in Texas, when you have a very bright lettering and you have the sun beating down on it regularly, just know that those need changed out more frequently because of the sun, because of the constant exposure. Sometimes those do need changed. Outside of that, make sure you're talking to your signage company. They are the experts in this. have a preventative maintenance program in place. If you do not have one and you're doing everything reactive, bare minimum, having your signage company organize nighttime photos so you can have, we have a client that we've done this with, and I actually was just working on it this week. And looking at the photos now compared to when we first started this program, it's night and day because there's so many less problems. So if they have 300 locations and we're doing these photo surveys, where it used to be maybe 150 or probably 50% of them had signage issues, now we're down to so many less. And it's so refreshing on my end to say, okay, this is working. I can see it really happening that this is working because we get ahead of that maintenance and we can do it right away versus waiting until something happens or waiting for somebody to report it because nobody notices it. So those are definitely things that I would say, and preventative maintenance and making sure that you're just on top of it and you have somebody looking into it for you.
And I think the thing to keep in mind here, too, is that this does not just apply to like your huge national brands, right? This can be for if you've got just a few locations or even just one location. You can partner with your sign company and say, hey, if you've only got a couple or just a single location, every 6 months, I want you guys to come out, do a photo survey, a nighttime survey, like make sure everything is functioning well. And then, especially because small businesses tend to have a little bit tighter budgets, you're going to prevent a lot of those high dollar spends later when you have to go through and fix that signage instead of just, let's just clean it, make sure that everything is functioning well, nip those problems in the bud before they even happen.
And Tori, some of the things, like, you pay so much for your signage up front. It's not cheap to get a sign installed. And again, it's your brand integrity, your brand quality. And we've went out and sometimes it is the simplest fix, like a switch was flipped and you're not getting that bang for your buck because your sign is not lighting and nobody's realizing it except for the customers that are driving by because your employees are already gone for the night. When the only reason that signage is off when it's supposed to is because a switch was flipped. That's crazy. Make sure you are having somebody investigate those signs on a regular basis. Again, bare minimum, just the photo surveys, having somebody go out there, take quick photos of your entire signage and exterior lighting as well for safety issues. But it's when you have something, it's so frustrating for me when you have something that you put so much time and energy into and it's off because of that. It's so preventable.
So in our last episode, we gave some real life examples of people that do iconic storefronts really well. So we want to bring some more examples in, and a couple that came to mind for this particular topic. If you've ever been to Disney, you'll know that Disney obviously is an iconic brand all on its own. And part of what makes Disney such an iconic brand is the experience that you have when you're at the Disney parks, right? Disney World, Disneyland, whatever and wherever you are. They've got parks all over the world. But obviously, signage is a huge part of the experience at Disney. It's part of what makes the whole experience magical. But can you imagine if you were at Disney and one of the signs was out or flickering or dirty? They would never let that happen because they understand their brand and that they have to protect it. And if you want to know why Disney has made so much money aside from the movies, it's because of the incredible experience that you have at those parks. People aren't paying. I don't even know how expensive tickets are now. What, $100 or more, probably?
At least. Yeah, I think like for a family of four or five, it's upwards to a grand to get in.
That's crazy. But right, people are willing to pay that because they're willing to pay for the Disney experience. Same thing applies to your brand. Do people want to invest in the experience of your brand, whether you're retail or a restaurant or something else, even a healthcare facility? Are people willing to pay to be there and to experience what you have to offer? Your signage is key for attracting and then retaining those people to be a part of your brand experience.
Okay, so Tori, sometimes you need to go a little bit beyond just the preventative maintenance. Even the best signage needs a refresh. And visually, strategically, let's dive into things when we actually need to install new signage and not just the preventative maintenance.
So in our last episode, we mentioned that about 60% of businesses in one survey reported a positive boost in sales from updating signage. I believe it was a boost of about 10% or more. And so this could mean what we talked about in our earlier segment. Maybe you're just updating or keeping clean your signage, making sure that everything's functioning properly. But what happens when you need to take it a step further? Can you still capture that boost in sales when you have to totally change out your signage? So that's what we want to talk about is, when should you update your signage beyond your basic maintenance needs? We've got a couple of things we want to talk through here. Ree, why don't you kick us off?
So with signage, usually every 5 to 7 years to align with branding trends or evolving customer expectations, you see even the most popular brands, I think I mentioned before in the last episode, are local Arby's. It was a very rundown, not just the sign, but the entire exterior. A complete rehaul. It looks like a different building. It looks like a different, not a different brand, because you still have the Arby's logo, but it looks so much cleaner, so much more fresh, and so much more approachable. I guess that's not normally a fast food place that I would normally stop, but I'm telling you, it works, because there's been a couple times I've drove by and I was like, that looks really nice. And again, it's that subconscious, whatever it does to your brain, that says, okay, you connect the dots of signage, quality. This looks really nice. This building looks nice. So I think there's an ever-evolving need to do that. And there's also, I have tons of brands that rebrand, they update their logo, the remodel, or they're just relocating. That happens frequently. A lot of times, even if you're relocating fairly close, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get a new sign. But those are things that we need to definitely keep in mind when we're doing this. We have clients, and again, this is something that you really need to work with your signage company with and let them know, hey, we have this many locations. And what we do for some of our clients is we go through and we do that, those surveys, and it's more of an in-depth survey, and we actually have recommendations on which their locations, okay, we recommend these for a refresh. Out of your 600 locations, we recommend these 50. So let's put that in the budget for next year. So having a sign company along with you that knows exactly what those needs are, they know that you want to keep that signage fresh, updated, and with those requirements or expectations, they can go ahead and recommend those specific signs for you. Again, take that off your shoulders. Let the experts do the work. Let them go through the deep details of everything.
A couple other things to keep in mind, and something that I don't know if this is just me, but I wanted to throw it out there. When you're going through the process of either you're relocating or you're just updating your signage completely, you're of course going to have to decommission the current sign. So you're going to have to get your signage vendor out there. They're going to have to take the sign down. Sign companies often have some sort of recycling program, so you can inquire about that with your sign vendor to see what they can do. Also, just for purposes of sustainability and just doing things that are at least a little bit better for the environment. But decommissioning does have to happen. Of course, there is always a cost associated with that. So it's something to consider if you're going through that rebranding or relocating process. Make sure you include that in your budget.
And I'm going to jump in here with the decommission with this, because what we do is for us, we go in, the most flawless way to do this, and keep this in mind, is so we work fantastically with our new signage team. So my side, we go in, we decommission it, and then they're ready to rebrand it immediately. So it's almost this flawless transition that happens when we have the separate divisions do this. So that's something to think about and see how, especially if you have a large rebrand, how are they doing this? Who is doing this? Who's handling what? What does the transition look like? And it's so seamless. We've figured out this process and it's so seamless because my team's really great at decommissioning and getting those signs down quickly. We know how to handle them. Usually there's certain fees for like fluorescent lighting and things along those lines for the getting rid of that. There's potential different fees for neon and things like all along those lines as well. But also make sure that they know exactly what needs to be done with your wall and what that landlord requirement is. If there's a sign going up that is the exact same size, and it really shouldn't have to do, you shouldn't have to do too much as long as that logo, there's not shadowing from the sign coming down. But if there is a change, make sure that happens beforehand, because we've went up and we put new signs up and whoever took the sign down did not handle that wall correctly. And you can see either the shading from the sign before, or the painting wasn't done, or there's holes in the walls. All of this just makes everything look so unfinished, unclean. So that's definitely something to keep in mind when you're rebranding, you're moving, landlord requirements, all of those. So go ahead, Tori.
No, those are great points. Very helpful information there. The other thing that might be helpful to keep in mind for folks is, can you create standardized sign types to help reduce some of your costs? We've done this for clients in the past where we were doing a ton of locations, and we are a custom sign company, so we want to help create those really specialized solutions for all of your sites, but that can be expensive. There's a lot of labor involved in that. And so will it work for your brand to have 3 or 4 or whatever number of standardized sign types? That's going to help lower some of those costs. It's going to increase the speed of your design and production. Can you even consider actually having a stock of some of those sign types, so that then when you know that a sign is past maintenance and it just needs to be replaced, okay, we know that we've got some signs stocked up that we can just stick back up on that facade. It's also great if you've got locations in areas with big weather events. If you're down south, we get a lot of hurricanes. It may be in Tornado Alley where you might have to replace signs more frequently, even though you're not going through a rebranding or something like that. So just something to keep in mind. It might help lower costs. And two, if you're keeping that stock of signs, you're going to hopefully get a lower cost on the materials to make those signs. So all good things to keep in mind. And then I just want to reiterate what Reese said earlier. Partner with a sign company who's going to help you map out a plan for all of this. They can help you if you're going through that rebranding or you're expanding, whatever it is. They're going to help you think through, what does my current signage look like? Which locations have the highest volume of customers and we might want to refresh more quickly? Which ones, if they're in the south, can we rebrand when it's like winter and fall there, when it's cooler, and then save the rebranding of the states in the upper half of the country for when it's warm during the summer? They can help you think through all of those factors and come up with a really cohesive plan for how you're going to execute it really efficiently.
It needs to be an ever-evolving conversation with your sign company. And it also is based on quarters, budget, what you need, how many locations you're growing in that year. So if you're a really large brand and you have a lot of expansion, that's something to consider also, the new signage versus the refresh and what's everything looking like. But also, like Tori said, keeping those signage specs, if you have those standard signs and basically backgrounds and colors as well. So we have some that we've talked about before that require only white signage, for example, only white channel letter sets. Okay, if we have that random one, normally our brand is black, but we have to have that because of this specific location, have that already in your spec book. Have your sign company create a spec book for you for all your standard signage. And that way, it's much easier, not just in cost, but also the efficiency and how things can get on the wall as quick as possible when you need it to be done, especially for those disaster type areas, like Tori said.
And again, want to talk about a real life example with this. So I'm not sure how many people are aware of this. I wasn't aware of this until I was researching for this episode. But Walmart actually went through a rebrand this year. It started in the fall of last year. Ree, did you know this, that they rebranded?
Their store's interior looks different, but I did not know. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a rebrand, except it's not a rebrand, because they've refreshed their look across pretty much every touch point of their brand, whether you're shopping online, whether you're in their app, whether you're shopping in store, you're going to see some updates in the design of all those things. But they've kept their, they call it the spark, the little yellow spark logo guy. So they've kept that the same, but you'll notice on a lot of their stores that has been updated. The shape, I think, is maybe ever so slightly different, and it's a dimensional sign, so the shape of it is slightly different as well. But they did an amazing job, I think, of integrating Walmart's history as a retailer to their brand identity with the kind of modern brand that they want to present to the world. They want to be this tech forward digital retailer. So they've launched this app where you can now shop online. And so it's been this really subtle shift. You may, like me, have not even realized that it happened, but they've done this extremely well. You're going to start to see, if you haven't gotten some of those design updates in the Walmart near you, you'll see it over the course of this next year. But
Walmart
became
cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
also, they have like cute clothes there and stuff.
They're trying to compete with the Targets and mm-hmm. the Amazons of the world for sure. And mm-hmm. they want to stay relevant. And that's actually such a good example of brand yep. staying relevant and updating that branding to make sure that they are, because it's ever evolving, it's ever changing in what people want. And to have that good in-store experience, but also to update with the app as well and that mm-hmm. signage. Again, in the past, Walmart used to be, to me, that store, I got to go to Walmart. I don't really want to go to Walmart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now they're trying to make it more of an experience, more of an enjoyable shopping experience. Mm-hmm. Not only do they have the app and they're refreshing all their stores, but social media and Walmart mm-hmm. is blowing up as well with influencers who are talking about mm-hmm. Walmart and their clothes and all the things that you can find about Walmart. And they've done such a really good job making themselves relevant and keeping up to date. So that's a perfect example of what we're talking about here.
Totally. And they haven't abandoned the really core brand value of being a budget-friendly retailer. So you're not going to go to Walmart and suddenly see these like sky-high prices. Like sometimes when I shop at Target, I don't know if this is true, but sometimes I feel like for some of their things, I'm like, especially maybe in the pharmacy area, I'm like, is this actually like an $8 toothpaste? You know what I mean? So sometimes I feel like at Target, I might be paying a slightly higher price just because it's Target.
Right.
But I think with Walmart, they've really stuck to that value of budget-friendly shopping while
I'm
still
telling you,
being
tech-forward.
One of
my most complimented jeans are from Walmart and they fit really good. And I'm one of those that I'm like, they're from Walmart. I'm like really excited to tell people because I'm happy when I go mm-hmm. in there. I found something that fits great, that looks really good, but is still not breaking the bank. And so, yes, you're completely right where they have stuck to their overall messaging, their overall what they initially founded themselves on, but they refreshed it. They made it clean. They made it fresh. They made it exciting for people. And if you can do that and manage to make that exciting journey for your clients, whether you're retail, restaurant, whatever it may be, but I will 100% say it still starts with your signage. It starts with the exterior. So keeping your signage well-maintained and up-to-date ensures your storefront stays relevant and inviting. Your sign isn't just that decoration. It's definitely a strategic brand asset, and that influences how customers perceive you.
100% true. Y'all, I hope you got something valuable out of this episode. Thanks for listening. And as always, be sure to follow us for more insights. Also, let us know what your favorite storefronts are or just what those fabulous in-person brand experiences are. Let us know in the comments. We want to hear from you. And until next time, keep innovating.